Our dear Heavenly Father, we worship you. We stand in awe of your greatness, the greatness of your integrity, your humility, your awesome power, your unfathomable wisdom. We worship you. So go to the Bible study this morning. Lord, I come to, Lord, ask for fresh mercy. Under the covering of my fathers, I duck under their covering. I ask for mercy and unction to bring forth a word of life, that this word will come out of me, Lord God, that you will make me a pure chalice, so that this word will come with purity, clarity, and with power. It will come in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit to encourage us and lift us, Lord God, to where you want us to be in the name of Jesus. As your word goes forth, Lord, under covering, let yokes be broken. Let blind eyes be opened. Let deaf ears be unstopped. As your power goes forth, make us willing to do all of your will, even in this day of your glory, in the name of Jesus. That, Lord God, an internal, eternal work will be done, making our wills more submitted to your will. Our minds further illuminated with revelation, fresh revelation, insight from the Holy Spirit. And our emotions controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, because I ask for mercy, Lord, to be precise and to be concise. Lord, I yield myself to you, Holy Spirit. Lord, use me as you will. Lord, I will not speak my own words, but Lord, I will speak as you inspire and as you direct. As a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as you see fit, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now today, our Bible study this morning is taken from the book of 2 Thessalonians. We've been in the Thessalonians for a while now, and we just began the second book of Thessalonians. And in our last lesson, we're looking at 2 Thessalonians. We're looking at chapter 1 from verses 3 to 10. You know, and it really was was a long stretch, but it was in two parts. And in summarizing, I'd just like to emphasize that the Holy Spirit, last time we were in the book, was showing us that the remarkable transformation of faith and love in the Thessalonian church was a direct result of the impact of the quality of the Word of God preached by Paul and his spiritual sons. That church in Thessalonica was born in persecution. But in spite of the persecution, the Bible says that their faith and their love grew exceedingly. Amen. All right. So meaning that it was remarkable, you know, and just as balanced diet produces strong natural physical growth, the same way, when the word of God is coming in purity, you know, from a heart that are humble, you know, that purity and the humility produces what the Bible calls the word of his grace in Acts 20:32, that is able to build us up and give us an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Amen. We're truly privileged in this house, amen, to sit under such a ministry, you know, goodness. And anywhere you see brethren from Scripture Pastor go, wherever they go, any church, any town, by the mercy and the grace of God, whether they end up in children's church or no, they do it. There is a mark of excellence, you know, of excellence in ministry, and that's a true mark of ministry. Ministry is about raising up Christians that are written epistles that ordinary people can read. That is Christianity. But it comes from the quality, you know, of the heart and the life, you know, that is laid down, that brings forth that word. And so we see that the Thessalonians were growing, you know, and manifesting the growth in the fruit of the Spirit, you know. And this is what God is saying. You know, when a vessel is pure, that is pure means having no agenda, and it is humble. You know, so it's not enough to be a minister. We must work on humility. We must work on purity of motive. No, humility of heart. It is that brings forth the epignosis of God's word, you know, that is able to change the lives of people and make saints out of people like John Mark. Amen. May raise apostles, you know, out of people that people like Paul became an apostle by reason of the dealings of the Lord. And this is what God is doing, you know. If you look at Acts 20, 26 in verse 18, we see this. That the kind of saints that in the ministry are a stamp of approval. Look at the purpose of God. Acts chapter 26 in verse 18. Thank you. Acts 26 in verse 18. 26:18. Thank you. Now this is what ministry is about. Let's read it together. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's the whole, this is a production line. We're in a factory and God is bringing forth sinners. And from the weak sinner, God is raising up sons of God. You know, and that's what God is. So that's what God is doing, and that's the stamp of approval on the ministry. And so, you know, as they serve as faithful stewards, as ministers serve as faithful stewards, bringing forth meat in season and out of season, like the Bible says in Luke 12, 42 to 44. No, the Bible says that God, you know, suddenly comes with a reward. Amen. And that reward is a spirit without measure that comes to them. Amen. And then by extension through the borrowed anointing, those under their covering. It's very important that we understand that. Okay. So we see that in ministry, it's not just about how big your congregation is. It's not really about just how much money you have or how much material possessions that you have. The real issue is raising men of God, sons of God, that can carry the vision and take it and reproduce what they are seeing, reproduce it and take the message to the ends of the earth. Amen. And that's what God is. So ministers understand that this is God's pattern. Amen. We also saw later on in verses 5 to 10 that as we grow spiritually under such ministry, we begin to grow from little children to sons, and we make the transition. That transition is very important because it's a transition both in growth and in our mentality. The way we think and the way we understand, you know, and allow God to begin to carry out his purpose. What Jesus said, we must go about the Father's business and begin to make the purpose of God our business, our personal business. That's what God is saying, you know, and we saw that in our last lesson. And this thing is threefold. The first thing is that God wants to equip us with the mentality of an overcomer. There must be a change in mentality. The children of Israel came out of Egypt. There was an 11-day journey into the promised land. But they couldn't go by that way. Because that way required warfare. And they were babies and little children. So they went by a longer way. You know, it's important to understand. So for you to enter into the promised land, we are going to enter into it with warfare. And so it's important to have the mentality of an overcomer through repeated victories when the devil comes to persecute and afflict us. So persecution and affliction are a catalyst to enable us enter into our destiny. Now the work is done by the blood, the word, and the spirit. But the persecution hastens the process. Satan aims it. Use it to destroy, but God is using it because God doesn't allow us to be tempted about what we are able to bear. So anything that comes against you and I is measured. It is exactly your size. You can overcome it. It was designed specially for you to overcome. So when it comes your way, know that it is allowed of God, and do what the Bible says: rejoicing in the hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And when you do that, you overcome that temptation. And when you overcome one, overcome the Bible says patience works experience, and experience gives you hope that the next one that is coming is also bread for you. David overcame the lion, That gave him confidence for the bear. He overcame the bear, and that gave him confidence for Goliath. It's the way, that's the way God wants us to. That's the mentality is important. Second thing is that it enables God to build a perfect legal case against the devil, so that God can put away Satan and his angels away permanently in the lake of fire. That's very important. So God is like understanding, is really not like, it is understanding the purpose of God and trusting him. That no matter what situation you find yourself, there is a way of escape. And so no matter what, once God just proves that there is intent and there is an attack, then the case is sealed. Now that God's going to put him away later on, as you see in Revelation chapter 19, later on, you know, after, you know, we've been raptured, then God's going to put them away. But if now the legal case has all been done, because God is a God of justice, amen? And if so, Jesus' sacrifice paid for our sins and redeemed us. Now his suffering paid for our redemption, amen? Now our own suffering enables God to be able to put Satan away and finish the work of God that Jesus began, amen? All right, so that's the will of God. And then, of course, it gives us finally the privilege, and it's a great privilege, to share in the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. The dying of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that we die physically. It just means that we suffer self-denial of things that we normally would enjoy. So we suffer self-denial of sleep, of food, you know, and we use our time. We give time to prayer. We give time to the word, you know, and in doing that, you know, that suffering, we go through what Jesus himself went through. Amen. And God uses power from our spirits when we pray to Bible says, put it to carry the burdens of others. Bible says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So that's love. So through intercession, you know, the power that you generate in place of intercession is used. Some is used for you and I, but a lot of it is channeled to people that without your prayer, the enemy will just come in and destroy them. So God is able to now use that power. So to that degree, you are giving away life, so you are suffering some death. It's relative, okay? And in that way, you partake of the weaknesses and the pain. You feel it in your physical body. You know, you feel it in your physical body, like the Bible describes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you know, verse 7 to 11. You feel it in your physical body. No, Bible says, no. Give me verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, just so that we can paint the picture clearly. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Next verse. And so we are troubled on every side, yet we're not distressed. We are perplexed but not in despair. Next verse. Persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. Next verse. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest where? In our body. Amen. Next verse. Twice. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So that there's that. We suffer that. And the essence of that is to break our pride. The root of our pride. So you lose confidence in yourself. You lose confidence in your ability to pray. You depend utterly and totally on God. And that is what God needs. That permanent humility. So when the glory comes, you will not change. So it's all part of what God is accomplishing, because God doesn't want us to be proud. And so when we got there, like in Joseph, we see that it was when he told them, please don't forget me. He told the baker and the butler, don't forget. He said, don't forget me. The Bible says they forgot him for 2 full years. All right. And then after they forgot him for 2 full years, then his time came. By that time he was permanently humble. God knows the time. Amen. So that we just continue in the process, trusting God as a righteous God. He's a merciful God. He's a faithful God. Amen. And he will not leave you one day that is necessary until the work is done. And then there is a suddenly. This suddenly is the release of the power of the Spirit in full measure into your mortal body. What we call the power of the Spirit without measure. So all you have sown in years of intercession, God now gives us back good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Amen. Called the fullness of Christ. Amen. And so that comes, and then Christ is now, like the Bible says in verse 10, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, he is now admired in them that believe. Amen. We now admire the work of God in your life. They admire the character of God. They admire the glory of God demonstrated, physical miracles, you know, intellectual miracles, you know, political miracles, environmental miracles, all sorts of, God is admired. God is on display. Amen. All right. And that's what we look for. That is the hope that we have. God was admired in Joseph. He was admired in Daniel, Elisha, Moses, Paul, Mordecai. He's going to be admired in you. That's the will of God for us. And we're going to fulfill it in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's what we did in the last lesson. So this morning, we'll be looking at verses 11 and 12. Let's quickly turn our Bibles there. All right. Please, let's read verse 11 and 12, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Wherefore, please read along with me. Wherefore, also, we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with what? Power. It takes power to run this work. It's a work of faith. Next verse. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, Holy Spirit will help us through this. Amen. All right, so let's go back to verse 11. All right, so we see that there is a process here. We are in a factory. And in a factory, if you don't have power, you have a problem. If you switch off the power coming from National Grid, what happens? You cannot produce anything. You are taking raw material, breaking it, molding it, changing it, and you're bringing out a finished product. And then light goes off. And then you don't know when they're going to restore it. You are in trouble. The same way, because of this delicate process, imagine if somebody is under attack spiritually and God is depending on your intercession. And then light goes off. There's no power. People's lives are at stake. It's a delicate balance between, you know, success and failure. What he's supposed to be able to overcome. And God is banking on prayers from you and you to add to what he's producing. And all of a sudden, we are short on supply. God forbid. May God have mercy on us in Jesus' name. This is why, for God to run this purpose on the earth, raising up sons out of weakness into the strength of God's glory, God needs a continual supply of spiritual power to guarantee that nothing goes wrong. And that's why he's raising up sons. We are all intercessors. We are all called to the ministry of intercession. And there is no one person that is an intercessor. Bible says we're a kingdom of priests. We have a priestly ministry, intercession, and we have a kingly ministry where we rule and reign. Amen. And one, there are two. There are two ministries that are intertwined together. You know, you cannot take one and not take. You cannot reign if you don't pray. It's not going to happen. The praying is the means and the way and the means through which God prepares you for reigning. All right, so it's important to understand that, you know, and put away this mindset and this culture that we see sometimes in the church or people merchandising the gospel. Some people will pray prayers for you and you'll be paying them money. It's not. Bible says, my house shall be a house of prayer. Everybody involved, amen, as the will of God. And that is what causes the kingdom of God to advance on the face of the earth. Let's look at Matthew 11 verse 12. Give it to me in the Amplified, please. Quickly, Matthew 11 verse 12. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. You are a bit quiet this morning. Maybe it's the rain. Shake off the rain, amen. Tell your neighbor, shake off the rain. Okay. And from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault. And it is permitted to be violent in the spirit. And violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with the most ardent zeal and intense exertion. This is a clear description of intercession. It is ardent zeal. It is intense exertion. It is not sitting on a chair with your leg up, you know, and you're saying you are praying. You are birthing something. You are in travail. If you go to a delivery room, you know, it's not a place where people are watching TV and playing. It's a place where people are, you know, you're bringing forth life into the world. It's the same way with intercession. You know, it is something that is violent. You have to be involved and learn to pray fervently, learn to pray effectually, so our prayers avail much. Let's also look at Isaiah chapter 59. Because without intercession, the answer to the gross darkness that we see in the world is intercession. It is the arm of the Lord. That is the arm of the Lord that God has to release that breaks through the breaker company. They break through that darkness and come out into the light. Amen? There's Isaiah 59, verse 16. Very quickly. Thank you. This is describing, you know, the verse 14 and 15. Let's look at 14 and 15. You see the darkness in the world. Quickly. And judgment is turned away backward. Pastor taught us this. And I re-emphasized it some weeks ago. And justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the streets, and equity cannot enter. If you tell the truth now, people will come back and make life difficult for you because you told the truth. That's where we live now. Next verse. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departed from evil makes himself a prey. You are holier than thou. You are showing us up. The same way Joseph showed up his brothers and they didn't like him. Bible says they hated him. Born of the same father and the same mother. So it's a spiritual thing. And the Lord saw it and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Next verse. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. But in our generation, he has found a company in Jesus' name. And God is inviting you and I to enlist in that company. And if you're in that company, to stand in your place and grow in the place of intercession. Amen? All right? Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it what? Sustained him. Next verse. Hallelujah. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, right standing, and a helmet of salvation on his head. He's talking about putting on the whole armor of God. And he put on garments of what? Vengeance. We're talking about intercession. He's not Mickey Mouse. He's not gimme gimme. He's kingdom. We want your kingdom to come. We want your will to be done. And in that being done, our needs will be met. This is the will of God. Amen. All right. And was clad with zeal as a cloak. Notice that you do this. It's not something that you do from your head. It's something you do with all your entire being. Amen. All right. So let's jump to verse 19. Thank you. And see the effect of intercession. So shall they fear the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. From the west. Okay? Because that's what they lack. They lack the fear of God. But when they see, no, that intercession will change their hearts. Right? And then his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. Pastor has taught us that the comma was put a little bit too late. The comma should be come in. After, when the enemy shall come in, comma. Like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. So there is a standard. Power
comes against the abounding iniquity in the air.
Amen. Next verse. Hallelujah.
And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. It's on the wings of intercession that the Christ appears in us. It's on the wings of that the Redeemer comes to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob.
So you have I and the children. The Redeemer comes to those who are already in Zion, and them that turn. So yes, there's still room for us to turn. Amen. Amen. You turn. You look in your life and you turn. You know, turn from stagnancy. Turn from irreverence. You turn from lying. You turn from dishonesty and lack of transparency. We turn from sexual immorality at the thought level. We turn. We turn. And when we turn, then we now see, what's the next verse, please? We now see the covenant fulfilled, not just in us, but like mommy prays for us every morning, it begins to affect us and our entire household. Hold on, let's read. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Amen. Let's give the Lord a cup of it. Amen. Hallelujah.
That is why the scripture says a good man leaves an inheritance unto his children's children. Is he a good man? It's too early to judge. Look at his children's children. That's what the Bible is saying. This thing is for seed and seed and seed. It's down the line. Look at his children. That's how you know. And that's why Saul was dead. But there was a famine in the land. And when they asked and inquired of the Lord, he said it was because Saul went and killed the Gibeonites, who they had made a league with earlier because of the mistake of omission of Joshua. And they said that, okay, give us, they asked the Gibeonites, what do you want? He said, give us 10 of his sons. He was dead. But his mistake was affecting his generation. Amen. That is why it's important to understand that our decisions, our actions, it's a principle. And like mommy said beautifully, if you look at Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 and 7, let's look at it. Amen. Exodus 34, verse 6 and 7. And the Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. Next verse. Keeping mercy for thousands. That's the first thing you see about him. Merciful. Keeping mercy. Because that is the solution to everything else. If you allow the mercy to escape you, then, you come to the next part, which is not really very palatable. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that is what mercy helps you to enjoy. And that will by no means clear the guilty. Saul was guilty. Visiting iniquity of valor upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the children. So God is saying that this is a season of mercy. Use the mercy that's available. Come to God in sincerity. Amen. No, do what you have, the instructions you and I have been asked to do. And when you do those instructions and you walk in the light as He is in the light, mercy will cover you and your generation unto the third and fourth generation. The mercy is able to keep you. Amen. That's the will of God. Okay, so we see that. So it's important to live an inheritance. So we have to impact lives of our children, then ensure our children impact their own children. Then and that way we reproduce Christ in our generations. Amen. That's the will of God. Amen. And if you look in the church, there are two kinds of leadership. We're talking about spiritual warfare this morning. There's a leadership that does not emphasize spiritual warfare. Look at 1 Samuel, a Saul leadership, verse 13 and chapter 13 and verse 22. 1 Samuel. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan, his son was there found. They know how to pray. They know the importance of prayer. But they don't teach it because it's going to affect their ministry. So because of gain, they omit the weightier matters of the law. and they make the people of God a prey. But there's a different leadership. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. A different leadership. Amen. And this leadership is waxing stronger and stronger every day. Amen. Now, these are they that came to David to Ziklag, while he had kept himself close because of Saul, the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. Next verse. They were armed with what? Bows. They could use both right hand and left hand in hurling stones, shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. Some people in Saul's camp were already coming to David. We see it today. It's playing out today. God is calling them out. Come out of her and don't be partaker of her sins. Amen. And teaching them spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is a way of life. It's not something you do specially. It's something you build your life around it. Alright? Otherwise, you really don't have a life. If a sister can come in and come out, what do you have? Security is key. So it's important to understand that when we learn to pray and all that, you know, we are learning to guarantee what God has given us. And you advance, and Satan cannot say, where are you going? He cannot say, what doest thou? You break the yoke, and the yoke is broken. Because you understand prayer. There is a charge, you remove the charge. By intercession, by understanding the times and the seasons. And this is where, this now brings us to the next point, in that at the head of this intercession in this day are apostolic and prophetic fathers. And it's so important that you understand, because they are sons of Issachar that have understanding of the times. And they know what Israel ought to do and how Israel ought to do it. And make sure Israel has the capacity and the capability to do it. It's extremely critical. So it's not just a ragtag army. There is structured leadership. Look at Micah chapter 2 verse 13. So you can see the order. Because there is order in the kingdom. There is order in God's army. Amen. The breaker that breaks out of the darkness into the light. Amen. The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up and passed through the gate. The gate is where the elders sit. And gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them. That's those in authority. And the Lord on the head of them. So you see order. The Lord on the head of them, ever living to make intercession. The Lord Jesus Christ. The king, and then the rest of the army. Joel's army. Amen. Alright? And that army, the Bible says, before them, the land is a garden of Eden. After them is a desolate wilderness. Nothing escapes this army. The Bible says, there will never be the search, and there will never be the search again. God is calling you and I into the army. Don't look for my family saying, some people are there. No, you are there. You are part of the army. Amen? And that's what God is doing. So, we see that army, they are the foundation, Ephesians 2:20, we don't have to turn there, of the militant Zion church. Lord Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, but they are the foundation. The apostles and prophets are the foundation. You need their light helps you to see exactly what God is saying now. And you now process that thing in the place of intercession and get the finished product. That's what God is doing. Amen. All right. And through their intercession, Bible says, in the deal of his power, his people shall be willing. People that hitherto were lukewarm, because of the power coming out, no, there is a revival. Amen. There is a spiritual awakening that makes people willing in spite of themselves. Amen. Makes people willing in spite of themselves and begin to overcome and obey and become overcomers. Amen. So we see that's what God is doing. So the Bible talks about the work of faith with power. So all the good things God wants to do, it takes power to effect it. And that's why God needs the army. Now, verse 12. The end of that process is that... We'll go back to... thank you very much. Yeah. In the spirit. Amen. All right. That the name of Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our Lord Jesus, our God and Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it takes the grace of God to fulfill this thing. Grace of God means that we also must be copying the example of the spiritual leadership, which is we're growing in humility, and we're growing in purity. It's important because that determines the amount of grace. Intercession does not generate grace. Intercession uses grace. You use grace to run intercession. You don't use intercession to generate grace. I mean, it's an act of obedience, but you need the grace of God. So when you say, I bind you, how much grace is behind what you said? The seven sons of Sceva, I adjure you in the name of Paul. What happened? It wasn't bound. The Bible says he came upon them and tore their clothes. That's why there are levels in the spirit. Amen. But faithfulness at the level that you are now is what will take you to your next level. So what God is saying today is that come and be faithful. Learn the art of intercession. Come and join Gideon's. It's not for some special people. You don't have to be married to be there. It's not when you're looking for brother or sister, you need to come and join. Hello. Come because you want to learn to pray. The only way to know how to pray is to pray. You can read a book about prayer, but until you pray, you haven't prayed. Amen. God will teach us prayer in Jesus' name. So we see that at the end of it, God is glorified. How is God glorified? Three things must happen for God to be glorified in us. One is that the character of Christ is formed in us. The second is that because of that character of Christ that is formed in us, we inherit the glory of God. And the third, one is a consequence of the other. Without the character, you don't inherit the glory. Once you get the glory, you now use that glory to fulfill the purpose of God for your life. That is how God is glorified. They see God worked out in you. That's how God is glorified. How are you now glorified in God? We are glorified in God by the reward that we get for the work that we have done. Brethren, we are not all going to be the same. Even when we're talking about the rapture, not everybody's going with the rapture. Stay rapturable. You better get deeper into God. Because the conditions for the rapture are they that are alive and remain. There's a condition for the rapture. It's not just rapture. We are being born again. So we must not stay close to the door. We've moved from the door. Using the tabernacle of Moses as a type. You move out of the outer court. You move in into the holy place. You pass the shewbread. Pass the candlestick. You get to the altar of incense. Then you cross at the veil. And you get into the holiest of all. And then you in that place, there is still furniture in that veil. Beyond that veil, you allow the law to be written on the 10 tablets of the commandment. You will eat the shewbread. And then the Aaron's rod must be bored in your mortal body. Then you sit upon the throne on the mercy seat. Let's look at it. Revelation chapter 3. So you can see that, 3 verse 12 and 21. Thank you very much. We'll go to verse 12 and then we'll jump to 21. Let's read together. Him that overcometh. Notice that he's for overcomers. He's for sons. People that go from problem to problem. I said, they that pass through the valley of Baca. And make it a well. Where it was dry, they will make it wet. Where it was wet, they will make it dry. They turn things around. Give God a clap offering. Hallelujah. They are not afraid. They are overcome. It's a mentality. Because of the relationship under authority over time. Amen. All right. So him that overcomes, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God. And the name of the city of my God, which is the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name, high priest of the order of Melchizedek, in the place of intercession. It's a reward. This is where the real rewards, big rewards are. And then the next one, verse 21. Thank you. To him that overcometh, will I grant... You didn't say it now. Don't you intend to overcome? And let's say it together. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me, where? in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I'm set down with my Father in his throne. You will get there in Jesus' name. Give God a clap of amen. That's God's will for us. We're going to get there. And like Jesus said, you know, when they came to say, at the point, Jesus said, now is my Father glorified. And you know, Jesus began to see from, he saw the end from the beginning. He was still on earth. He hadn't died yet. He was seeing himself on God's throne. Now am I glorified? Yes, now the Son of Man is glorified. And the Father will glorify him. And if you find that scripture, please put it up, you know. And it says you will glorify him in himself. It's so important to see where God is taking us, amen. So that we can with purpose, you know, walk with God, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Yes, thank you very much. Therefore, when he was gone out, Judas had just gone out. God waited for Judas to go out before they said this one. This was for people that were going in. Judas was going out. Brethren, don't go out. Keep going in deeper. Don't be staying near the door. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. He hasn't been glorified yet. No. And God is glorified in him. Next verse. If God be glorified in him, I can't hear you. God shall also glorify him, where? In himself, hallelujah. And shall straightway glorify him. Next verse. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you, you shall seek me, and as I said unto you, you can remember. Okay, so we see that God, he was saying he's glorified, but the first thing was God had to be glorified in him. He had to finish his course. Then that finishing his course now qualified him. But he was calling it by faith. We also must start speaking by faith. You speak to your situation. I don't know what you're going through. Financial, with your family, with your children, speak to them. With your wife, speak to your wife. Wife, speak to your husband. Call the things that are not as though they are. And keep calling. And when they fulfill one, just keep quiet. It's a project between you and God. It's not that, you know, I'm the one that prayed for you that made this thing happen. You still need extra work on yourself in Jesus' name. You are supposed to be working with God on a project. And as you see, just keep your mouth and keep praying more. Keep saying more. You pray like the beautiful thing that Pastor taught us years ago. I saw it in the Daily Rhema today. You pray it. You say it. You think it. You do it. You call it out. Say it. You know, and as you say it, it begins to change. It makes you the kingdom advances step by step, step by step. And God is glorified. Amen. Let us bow our heads to pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's talk to God. God has pure ministry. Doesn't matter what's going on the outside. I have to look with the eyes of the Spirit. Like Elisha prayed for the servant and said, Lord, open his eyes. God wants to open our eyes to see that there is great reward in serving God. Both in the spirit and on the earth, having the promise of the life that now is and the one that is to come. But we seek first the glory, seek first the kingdom, and submit yourself to this process. Let God make you like himself, and everything else will fall into place. Your family, in your business, at work, at your workplace, is bread for us. We are an army of overcomers. Let's repent. The Bible says, them that turn from transgression in Jacob
We were sharing on Wednesday about the fear of the Lord. There was a palpable presence of God on Wednesday in church. You need to listen to that message. God was talking about turning from things we consider little, or we don't even think are wrong. So because the Redeemer is coming to Zion, and the bride must make herself ready. Lord, we offer our lives to you, everything we've been through, use it for your glory. Lord, we offer our days to you, lifting our praise to you, Lord, as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord God, Lord, we offer you our lives. Fathers, raise up our right hand in faith, left hand on your heart. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, showing me that it is a privilege to be called to become a son of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for planting me under this ministry so I hear regularly the pure, undiluted word of your grace that is building me up and giving me an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Afresh, I consecrate myself to this purpose. I yield myself, my will, my mind, my emotions, everything I offer unto you, my experiences, my mistakes, my successes, I offer unto you as a sacrifice. Use it, Lord, for your glory. I forget the things that are past, and I reach forth for the things that are before. I press toward the mark to lay hold on the prize of becoming like Christ, inheriting the glory and using the glory to deliver creation from the ends of the earth. So I will rise up as part of this victorious overcomer company, this militant Zion Church. I will not miss my destiny. I will receive a full reward, and you will grant me in your mercy to sit with you in your throne in Jesus' name. Let's pray in the spirit. Rapa kakashike de vebedico de vebasan, Mosse ba, ronde vika tanto bea, or never the na, rosso songe, kangeke leveberico de vebetanta, mafreketo prehair, repa papa ba, jeffrey ba te canto, minga de vebadie, ropa, belilopte, rosa catando bea, corida, rodele, rodele berioba, ma ba ba ba, cote, bada, reba ba 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 ba, reba ba 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 ba, cote, bada, 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 reba 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 ba
Jesus. Monkey canam got matikate. Zefreke ko bangele. Rebobobos. Mengalas. Jeffreke ko bali. In Jesus' name. Amen.